and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. Good morning, Houston. This is Amplified Houston, 90.1 KPFT Pacifica Radio in Houston, Texas, 89.5 FM in Galveston, and 91.9 in Huntsville, and streaming online at kpft.org. Amplified Houston is a collaboration of five nonprofit organizations: Baker Ripley, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Houston, Children at Risk, the Women's Home, the Houston Food Bank, and Houston's community radio station, KPFT Pacifica Radio. Listeners, all the programs you hear on KPFT are listener-supported. Become a sustaining member today by calling 713-526-5738 and pressing option 1. I am your host, Anna Coffey, and I serve as the CEO of the Women's Home. And this is Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, where we talk to women doing hard things. But in today's show, we're going to speak with an ally, Reverend Alden Clark. But before we get to Alden, I'd like to let you know that Amplified Houston is supported in part by the Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer in Houston. It's owned and operated by the Women's Home, and proceeds from the Cottage Shop pay for programs that help women reclaim their lives. Further information can be found at thewomenshome.org/cottage shop. Okay, let's get into it. Alden, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's a cold, rainy morning.
So I know, we're I got my coffee cup going.
I got mine too.
If you see it, it says, "Girl, please, I'm from Texas."
I love it.
So cheers.
Cheers. I got my coffee too. Got my heat cranked up, and we're going to make this a warm, cozy show because it's so cold and rainy outside. So, Alden, usually on this show, we interview women doing hard things. But today, we are visiting with you because of your allyship and commitment to women. You have served on the board of the Women's Home for at least 8 years, maybe closer to 9. And you have been a volunteer for the Women's Home for many, many years prior to that. And so you have had this incredible dedication and commitment to the well-being of women. And you have a very eclectic and fascinating background. You're a business owner. You're an ordained minister. You're the adoptive father of an African-American son. And you're a member of the LGBT community. So tell us a little bit more about Alden and how you have intersected all of these identities.
Fascinating. And thank you. Yep, I was reading a thing from a recent Jewish theology about the moment you're conceived. Leela, an angel, appears to you and tells you how your whole entire life will be lived out, which is a very fascinating idea. And then right before you're born, she puts her fingers on your lips and you forget everything you've learned about your life that you've chosen. And that's how we get the little dimple in between our lips there. So I like that theology because I chose this path and everything was explained to me what I'd be going through. And you spend your life unfolding it and getting back to it. So it was destined.
Very cool. Alden, I think we might be having a little bit of audio problems on your side. So I'm going to invite you to mute one of your microphones. And I think that your life journey has been incredibly interesting. I love that biblical explanation about why we have this in front of our. So what you're saying basically is that we know on some level what our life destiny is supposed to be, but we forget it, and then we're supposed to relearn it here on Earth. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Yeah, it's a journey back home.
A journey back home. Oh my God, I love that.
So
I love that. What a cool thought for a Monday morning. Okay, so let's talk about, you have your master's or PhD in divinity?
I have a master's in divinity.
Master's in divinity. And for your dissertation, you explored feminism in Black women. Talk to us about that. Where, how did you come upon that?
It started off, I grew up in a very heavily dysfunctionally abusive family, both physically and verbally. And when I was a young teen, my mother went to seek a divorce to get out of a bad marriage. And she went to an Episcopal priest who told her, you made a vow in front of God for better or for worse. And if you have to live in worse, then that's your destiny for your life.
Ooh, my goodness. Ladies, don't go to that priest.
Exactly. And so, and my mother and I were close. She shared this with me. And at a, even at a young age, I could not understand why a person of, quote, God would tell somebody that their destiny in life is misery and unfortunate events. And she stayed married for 52 years. So,
oh my gosh.
So part of my desire in women's studies was to unlock this understanding of the oppression of women in the church, and that women in a lot of denominations can't be priests, they can't be deacons, they can't be da 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 da, and the list is on and on and on. And so my quest was to unlock some of that in the course of wanting and reading all that. I found my son and witnessed his birth. And at his birth, his mother is extremely Caucasian, blonde, blue-eyed. And the all of a sudden, she gave birth to this adorably beautiful Black child. And everybody in the delivery room just jaw dropped and said, oh, something's changed here in what we thought. And so all of a sudden, I found myself raising a Black son. And so not understanding Black culture, not understanding what I need to do to show up as a father, I then dug further into that, leading to a culmination of women's studies, Black culture studies, bringing the two together and understanding how incredible damaging white patriarchal privilege has been to Black women.
Wow.
And the name of my the title of my dissertation is White Patriarchy Must Die If Christianity Is to Survive.
Okay. All right. Well, like I said, listeners, Alden is definitely an ally in so many ways, to women, to the Black community, and to really, all of the ways that he intersects. So talk to us a little bit about your volunteer work at the Women's Home, particularly around faith formation. You helped develop our signature faith formation course curriculum called Courage to Search. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that program, what makes it unique, and how we approach spirituality at the Women's Home?
It's been a wonderful journey, and I applaud Stuart Nelson for working and developing all this together. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal asset to the city of Houston and the women's community, another fellow ally. But the object with Courage to Search is to invite women into a space where they can unlock the keys for themselves. And that whatever got them into this situation, it's not the same higher power, God, whatever one wants to call it, that will get them out of it. They need to discover and search for a new power.
Yeah. And finding a connection with a higher power is often, for many women in recovery, a critical step in their recovery, relying on a higher power. But so many of the women and so many, frankly, people all over the world have actually been, you know, quite traumatized and scarred by experiences with organized religion, like you described with your mom at the beginning of the podcast or the radio show. So how do you manage that when you encounter women in the program who are really traumatized by some form of organized religion?
Can I share a story about a woman?
Please share a story about a woman.
Okay, because it best exemplifies the work that we try to do. So she, black female, probably mid-50s, had just gotten out of prison and found her way into the women's home to help introduce back into society. And in the Courage to Search, one of the things we do is we go on a sacred sites tour of Houston, and we visit about 10 different spiritual places. It could be a mosque, could be a temple, could be a church, could be a labyrinth, could be a park, the Arboretum, but any place that spirit might move people. And we pulled up to a church, and this woman said, "I'm not going into that church. That's where God is." And I was like, "You have the right to pass. You can sit in the van. No one's going to force you to go into that church. But while you're in the van, I would just like you to think a little bit about where God is and why you won't go into a church." And so the following week, we got back and we were processing this experience. And I asked her if she would share, and she did. And her story was she ended up in prison because she got an accident with a 18-year-old graduating senior from high school. A black young woman, and it was driving while intoxicated, manslaughter. And she ended up killing this 18-year-old girl. And she, as best as I can describe her words, "Why would God pick me to live and an 18-year-old graduating senior die? As a black woman, I killed another black woman, and my life is worthless and meaningless because of what I did." And this is a woman who spent a lot of time in prison, having time to contemplate this, but apparently had never really got to the source of it. And she continued to share her story and how bad she felt about this, but that her life was wasted. And she continued to share. The next thing we know, the entire room of women and myself are all in tears crying. And she says, "I don't understand God. God would never do this. So I don't want anything to do with God." And when she looked up and saw all of us in tears crying, one of the other women said, "I think God just used you to tell me never to drink ever again."
Wow.
And the woman sitting next to her said, "I hear you, and I will never drink again." And we went around the entire room, and everyone validated this woman's story. And by the time we were done, she said, "Oh, I think I now know what God wants to do with me."
Wow, that's really deep.
And she found her story in sharing her own story, and she found her faith, realizing God works not to us. This happened to her. This accident happened to her, but that was not God's work through her. And she was able at that moment to flip the switch of God is going to work through me now for the rest of my life to tell people not to drink and drive and that their choices have consequences.
Oh my gosh.
So,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It was a room in tears and silence, but that is kind of the work that Courage to Search does, is to get people to identify how they can connect to a source where they'll be useful in the world moving forward.
So we're gonna get into that a little bit more, but first I need to do a quick break. Let's talk a few seconds about how this radio show is coming to you. KPFT takes no advertising dollars at all, and almost every one of the people who work to bring you the show are volunteers. Please call 713-526-5738 and press option 1 to become a sustaining member today. We are back with Reverend Alden Clark. He is laying down some philosophy for a rainy morning, Monday morning. And we are talking about an experience that he had as a facilitator at the Women's Home for a program called Courage to Search. And just really inspiring story of a woman who found her way and found her purpose in the midst of a very dark and depressing story. So Alden, that was very touching. Thank you so much for sharing it. So Alden, you are a business owner. As we mentioned earlier, you own SOK Salons on Kirby, and you actually still to this day have, you know, do haircuts and do styling for women. And, you know, the salon is such an interesting place because you can get really, I mean, sometimes stylists are just as much a therapist as the license.
Whoops.
Licensed psychologists that we see sit in someone's. Chair, and the parting your hair is really not just about how you want to look, but also what's going on the inside. And I'm curious, how do you understand your salon as a space where women heal and process and show up as their fullest selves?
So in the theme of tying all these things together, it's a well-known fact, the two most segregated places in this country are Sunday mornings at church and in the hair salon. So we have white churches, we have black churches, we have temples, we have mosques, and everybody stays in their own box and continues to exercise their faith in that box. The salon industry is no different, although I have tried and am committed to making it different. So in our salon, we have Korean, we have black, we have Hispanic, we have white, we have gay, we have lesbian. We have a very diverse group of people that are reflective of the great, great city of Houston. And trying to create a change for our industry in saying that we can serve and educate ourselves as hairdressers to help and serve anybody that walks in the door.
Yeah. What do you think it is about sitting in someone's chair and having those conversations that happen in the salon? What do you think that's from? Where, like, talk to us a little bit about where you see, like, why is that such an incredible, why are those conversations sometimes so impactful?
So I'll give a little pushback because you use the word therapy, and I'll answer your question, but hairdressers are not therapists. We're not licensed to offer advice. We're not licensed to help somebody. And if somebody needs help, they need to seek a therapist, not a hairdresser.
Yes.
So it is a tag, an adjective that's described to a lot of hairdressers, but I'm also love people and I'm a big advocate of mental health. And if somebody needs mental health, don't see your hairdresser. See your therapist.
Thank you for that PSA. Yes.
Yeah. The part of it, though, too, is on that spiritual level, we're dealing with the seventh chakra, the top of the head, where energy flows in and out of our bodies, where the highest level of our being is expressed. And as sometimes a stranger, sometimes as a longtime client slash becomes a friend, I am in a place usually seated above you, manipulating your crown chakra, and that leads to people opening up and sharing in a safe space.
Oh, where, I never thought about it that way.
Where our, you know, there was a recent legal case where a hairdresser was subpoenaed to testify. And there's a big debate over, are we guaranteed by confidentiality or not?
Ah.
But normally for most all of us, for my staff, I can speak, our lips are sealed. What usually is said to us stays with us. And 45 minutes later, we're on to the next person and the next story being shared. But it is a lot of just a very intimate space. I think now more than ever, with people working at home, with people being isolated in a post-COVID world, we don't hug anymore. We don't touch people much anymore. And to walk into a safe space where you're literally paying somebody to listen to you, to make you feel good, and to make you look your best. We're one of the last few places that that can happen.
Yeah, that's so true. So true. And it is an intimate setting where somebody's touching your head. I never thought about that part about standing higher and over. That's really interesting. So what is something that you've learned in the salon that you would never have been able to learn in a classroom or seminary?
Oh, as cliche as it is, beauty really comes from within. I've been doing this for 36 years, doing hair. And the ability for a woman to own her confidence and be transformed and grow into something bigger than she ever imagined. I now have second generations and third generations of women in my chair, and to watch them really step out into the world and create major change is, it's been an honor to be of service to these women. And it's not because of a great haircut. It's because they're beautiful women who want to change maybe their look, but also change the world. So yeah, beauty really is within.
Yeah, that's so profound. Oh, laying down so many profound truths for us this morning, Alden. Wow. Well, we're starting to wrap up our time. I just have a couple more questions for you, but I think we'll definitely.
Static.
Definitely need to have you back. The recovery. What does a spiritually empowered woman in recovery look like to you?
First thing I would say is she has quit referring to God as he or Lord or Father, and God has become the source, the higher power. But so much of our language in white patriarchal culture, we use the word our Father, dear Lord. Those are all masculine patriarchal words used to oppress women and keep them submissive. And a spiritually empowered woman is one that doesn't mind saying God, she, or God, it, or our mother who art in heaven. It's losing the gender and the pronoun. Pronouns are such a hot button from the past. And to evolve to that place where my higher power is between me, myself, and my spirit. That's a fully empowered woman.
That's a great description. Love that. And if you could give one message of hope to a woman listening who is doing something hard right now, what would it be?
It won't be my quote. It will be the Dalai Lama's. The fate of the world lies in the hands of Western women. And until all women are liberated and given the same power and privileges that I have as a white man, we're going to keep repeating these cycles. So we need you. We need strong women. We need every woman to step into her fullness, her power, and her strength to fix the mess that my white male peers have made.
Well, Alden Clark, smashing the patriarchy and giving women fabulous new hairstyles at the same time. Alden, I just have one last question to ask you. What is bringing you joy these days?
My son recently reached out on Thanksgiving and said he has extremely big news coming over Christmas holidays. And that I can't spoil the surprise because he'll kill me. But y'all fill in the blanks. Whatever women know that some man involved with a woman for 3 years has really exciting big news to tell me over Christmas break. And that gives me so much hope because there's another generation of young people changing the world. And I have a lot of hope in just the surprise that awaits me in the future.
Oh, that's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Alden Clark, we are going to have you back again. Actually, we already have a date to have you back with your partner, Doug. And y'all are going to be talking about a massive project that you're going to be doing on behalf of the Women's Home to celebrate women. And so we're going to just put that little teaser out there and invite people to come back in January and hear what that's all about. But for today, we're going to wrap it up. And I'm so grateful to you for starting our Monday off with some profound truth bombs and wisdom. Thank you so much. And thank you for all you do for women. If people want to hear more or learn about your salon, where should they go?
Salononkirby.com.
Fabulous. Okay, we're going to wrap it up. Amplified Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer in Houston, which is owned and operated by the Women's Home for the women that we serve. Find more information at thewomenshome.org/cottageshop. I would like to hugely thank Alden Clark for his appearance today on our program, and also thank you to all the volunteers at KPFT. Be sure to stay tuned for Gulfstreams with Weston Twardowski for the latest environmental and climate news in the Gulf Coast region and beyond. This is Anna Coffey, Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, over and out. It's now or never. Come hold me tight. Kiss me, my darling. Be
my... Let's be honest. The National Symphony may not be in his future. But he wanted to try violin, so you said yes because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more about keeping your kids safe in your vehicle at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show him you love him. Keep him safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
KPFD Artist Profile, Jim Lauderdale.
Well, it's you guys that love music so much that you share with everybody else your love for music, and you turn people on to good music and keep that spark going with people who music's a big part of their lives, and give them a lot of different choices of things to listen to. And so I'm real grateful